Okay, so we're starting Shadal on Shemot. Flows right off the tongue. A new book to abuse. You know, mine was getting pretty tattered on Bereishit because I was bringing it in every day. And it's really nice, you know, I use it on Shabbos also. So who is Shadal? So since we have a newcomer to the shir, I get to explain Shadal one more time. Amazing. So Shadal stands for Shmuel David Luzzatto, Rabbi Shmuel David Luzzatto, who was an Italian rabbi who also a university professor, college professor in the 1800s. He was born 1800 and died 1865. He devoted most of his energies in his professional life to the study of Tanakh. Academics love him, and he was a little neglected in the religious world, but I'll say it's interesting that the Ksava Kabbalah, Rav Tzvi Yaakov Mecklenburg, Rav Mecklenburg of the Ksava Kabbalah, who's a traditional parish, like early 1900s parish on the Chumash, he quotes Shadal. And other rabbis also quote Shadal. Nachama Leibowitz really made him the most famous. Nachama Leibowitz was a Tanakh teacher in Israel that was very well known. She would send out pamphlets each week on the Parsha and revolutionize the study of Tanakh in Israel and made it even a non-religious activity. What do I mean by that? So there is Chidona Tanakh that probably part of that spirit was in her efforts, but she didn't make the Chidona Tanakh, as far as I know. Tanakh became religious and cultural, meaning it was like interesting to an Israeli person on its own. So Nechama Leibowitz quotes Shadal all the time, and so that's how Shadal was in the mainstream. They published in the 70s basically his commentary on Chumash, taking out his Italian translation, because he translated into Italian, and they also took out for some reason, I mean, they say in the introduction why, they took out like all of his references to not foreign sources, because Shadal quotes church fathers, and he quotes Roman authors, and he quotes the Septuagint, he quotes the Samaritan text, all in an effort to understand what the Torah is talking about. And it's all really interesting. This is like modern orthodoxy before there was like a concept of modern orthodoxy. It was Italian Jews just did modern orthodoxy without having to defend it. I think that's how Rabbi Norman Lamb puts it, is like it was in a time before there was a need to defend the idea of Torah Umada, right? Okay, so I want to know what he says on the Torah. I'm learning with you guys, and I'm finding it very interesting myself. Okay, here we go. Let's do a topic and a very interesting comment on the Egyptian midwives, or I should say the Hebrew midwives. Here's what the pasuk says in Aleph Tesvav, right? Pharaoh has decreed the death of the boy born to the Jews. So the Vayomer Malach Mitzrayim, Elimial Dad Evriot. So he says to the Hebrew midwives, Asher Shema Chashifra, Shema Shenis Pua. The one of them whose name is Shifra, and the other one whose name is Pua, in Chazal's, or in Rashi's understanding, that's in reference to Miriam and Yocheved. What are the Miyaldot HaEvriot? You could read it as this. It could be Jewish midwives or midwives for the Jews. So they could be Egyptian midwives, but their job was to like to be in charge of Jewish babies. What's the problem with thinking it's Jewish midwives?
I mean, why would
Paro would tell Jewish midwives, I want you to kill your own? It's very difficult.
Let's take the most loyal.
Right, exactly. And if that's, you know, and it says the only reason why, or I don't know, not the only reason why, but the main reason why they didn't kill these kids and pretended to Paro that it was like happening too fast, they couldn't control it, is because they feared God. But it should also say because these were their people, you know. Fearing God is like, you know, secondary to the fact that, you know, you're committing murder over here. So.
But wait, aren't we saying that it's what's her name?
In the realm of Chazal, they understand it as Yocheved and Miriam. But there are problems in Pshat with that approach. So let's see what Shadal has to say. It's kind of a long comment. So I'll try to go through it a little quickly. Okay, you're listening closely. All right. Das Raza, the opinion of Chazal and Shmos Rabba, Aleph Yudzayin, the Unkelus, for Rashbam, for Rambaman, meaning Mendelssohn, the Clericus, for Rosius, like other, these like German and other commentaries, Shayu Hamiel Dotzayela Mizer Yisrael. Their opinion was that these were Jewish midwives. The Das HaMitargim, Halachsandri, and the Alexandrian Targum, Hieronymus, the Yosef Plios, the Don Yitzchak, and also the Abarbanel. So he puts mostly non-Jews plus the Abarbanel, this is interesting, together, as they are of the opinion, they're vastly outvoted, but they're of the opinion that these are Egyptian midwives. Shem Mitzriot, Amiel Dota Devriot, they were Egyptian midwives who have helped the Jews give birth. Chenira. So Shadal says, and I think that that is correct. How could it be, as Rami pointed out, how could it be really that Paro would command Jewish midwives to kill their own? And he was trying to make it a private thing. He was trying to make sure that nobody found out about it. Right? What was his command? He said that as soon as they give birth, pretend that the kid died in childbirth. Right? Yeah. He was trying to make, and what was their response when they were unsuccessful, quote unquote? They said, oh, they were born too fast. We couldn't do it. They already saw the kid and whatever. What Paro wanted them to do was do it in secret. So why would you expect that Jewish midwives, at the very least, they might be willing to do it, but at the very least, the rumor would get around. They would tell other people, you should know that if you give birth to a boy, this is what's going to happen. Right? Okay, so Clericus, and so what's the response back to that? He claims, Clericus, Shem lo ayu evriot, hayalo lomar li evriot. Let's just focus on the words. What does miyaldot ha-ivriot mean? He says it can't mean anything other than Jewish midwives or Hebrew midwives. Because if it meant midwives for the Hebrews, it would have said miyaldot la-ivriot, to the midwives, to the Hebrews. Okay, so just focusing on the words. Rosius ha-ivriot shahayalomar es ha-ivriot. Right? Rosius says that it should at least say et ha-ivriot. Fine. The ein zeh taina. This is not a good claim. Why? Yeah, you're right. You could have written it that way. But you could read to have hashmatot milat et. Sometimes you take away the et. That's not always there. Kimo ha'adam ha'ochel ha'boser. Like in Yirmiyahu, it takes away the s in Yirmiyahu Lamed Aleph. Okay. What about the idea that it says that they feared God? Doesn't that indicate that they're Jewish? What is his response? This is also not a claim. Ki et Hashem ink tivkan. It doesn't say yud kei vav kei. It doesn't say the name of God that's special for the Jewish people. What does it say? Et Elokim. It says God as the general, generic name of God. Elohim. And that could apply to anyone who has a God. Okay, whatever. He goes on a little bit. Okay. V'tamidi Yachaf. And my student Yachaf. That's one of the Pardo brothers of whose manuscript you're using. Chabibi Hachacham Reb Yaakov Chai Pardo. He adds in my beloved friend, the wise one, Rabbi Yaakov Chai Pardo, which I think is an addition from the Yachaf manuscript in particular. So that's funny. But okay. So he says Zatzal. Oh, interesting. So he had passed away already. Interesting. So Yachaf Mosif. Shemayu me'am acher. Let's say they were from a different nation, right? They are not from the Jews. Yitzdak lomar shasu zemirat hakel v'lo me'av. Right? Then, the fact that it says that they did it out of fear of God actually proves that they're not Jewish. Because, what? They would have said it, this is the point that we made before. It wouldn't have said that they did it out of fear of God. It would have said they did it out of love of their fellow Jews. Right? So that actually proves it also. Ach imayo evriot. If they were really Jewish Hebrews, they wouldn't have had to say that because everyone loves their nation. Now, why don't we examine those names, Shifra and Pua? Is that Egyptian or Hebrew? So they're Hebrew words, it sounds like. Shifra means like to be beautiful, and Pua has the language of like something, someone who shouts or someone who cries out or goes poo poo. Some, I guess. All right. So he says, what about those names? Those names sound Hebrew, so that would indicate that they should be Jewish. What about that? That's a good proof, right? All right. He says, She'ena Mitzriyim Ela Mishor Shim Evriyim. That sounds like Jewish names. Einan Antaina. That's also not a good claim. Ki Lidati Amiyadota Ela Loayim Mitzriyot Mamish. In his opinion, maybe these weren't actually Egyptian midwives. What were they? Ela Me'eretz Goshen. This answers an interesting question. Why would it be Egyptian midwives for the Jews? Rather, what was it? It was Goshenites, meaning Egyptians or non-Egyptians who lived in Goshen near the Jews. That's why they were their midwives, right? So that's interesting. He says, Shaita Krovel Eretz Canaan, which is actually very close to Eretz Canaan, and that's why people would go there. So he says that's why they're kind of Hebrew-ish names, because they live in a land that's close to Eretz Canaan. Fine. Ukarav Shaita Medabrot Sfat Canaan. It could be that they even spoke a kind of Hebrew, maybe Canaanite Hebrew. Okay, so this is a different question. How many midwives were there? There cannot have been only two. We're talking about a massive amount of people over the course of many years, right? Hundreds of years. So how many were there? There can't have been only two. Al Kain, Rav Abba Ben Ezra, Acharav, Rosius, Omer, Ki Shtaim Eila Hayu Sarot Al Kol Hamialdot. They were in charge. They were the top brass. They were the boss women for all the rest of the Mialdot. So therefore, they reported to Paro. Rav Avadya Svarna Omer, Ki Paro Diber Tchila Ime Mialdot Shavi Biyar. Okay, so we're not going to get into this question about how many there were. But I'll just end off with Vani Omer Ki Lo Ratza Paro Lidaber Im Kol Mialdot Papam Achat. The idea is that Paro didn't want to go to all the midwives all at once. So therefore, what did he do? Shem Hayu Hargot Yaldei Yisrael Bezman Echad Haya Davar Nikar Mitparsem. What Paro is trying to do is keep this a secret. So if you went over to every midwife and told them, don't let boys live, baby boys live, then that would be a big problem. Everybody would find out. So what did he do? He only went over to two. It was a test program. Lokain imayu shtayim mehem hargotzotam. But if only two did it, then that would be, you know, that would lessen the numbers of the Jewish people. Lokain ha'acherot hayu yichom lomar mikrahu. If it was only two people, they can continue to say, this is all by accident, happenstance. It happens to be that these two midwives are not being successful. And so he's trying to do it, like stagger it. He's trying to do these two, and then the next two, and then the next two. But Shifra and Pua made sure that it was never successful. So Paro was trying to make sure that didn't happen. And that is why we only have two here, and they're described in Mialdot Hebriot. Very interesting, the back and forth that's possible. So, trying to figure it out as we're reading the Torah. Very good. We got started on Shadal, on Shemot. Very exciting times.